Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. It is ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown. The pleasure mine. I had the opportunity to speak with you all a couple of weeks ago when I visited your lovely part of paradise. This time I come to you live from the beaches of Pensacola, Florida, my current residence.
Lucky.
Back in the Yeah, I am. I concur. You know, here's the fun thing. When I was up there, I came up there, what was it, 2 weeks ago I came up there to host the show with you guys for a couple of days. And I got to sit and I'm a people person. I love going out and meeting people and talking to people, Tim. And by the way, my man Timothy back in the network studio is the guy pushing the button, switching all the switches. And of course, the other sensual voice that you hear coming over your speakers right now. When I was up there, on the last day that I was there, and I told the story on Twitter. I obviously didn't get a chance to tell it on air because it happened Wednesday before I took off to come back down here to the beaches. When I, on the very last day that I was up there, which was Wednesday, I drove up to Chimney Rock. Have you been there before, Tim?
I believe I have at one point. I think it's been a while, though.
Okay, so Chimney Rock is a spot that I had heard about many, many times. I'd seen pictures of. And I am admittedly, please feel free to judge me as you will. I am a geographical history nerd. I am fascinated by anything in terms of the surface of the planet that took millions, nay, billions of years to create, okay? Chimney Rock is a 250-plus million-year-old monolith for the handful of you guys who have not yet experienced it. And you can climb up to the top of this big rock stack and look out 75-plus miles in just about every direction, see into multiple states. It's just a grand vista, if you will. So I drove all the way up to Chimney Rock, and when I got there on Wednesday, what I learned, Tim, was that the parks closed on Wednesdays and Thursdays, so I could not get to Chimney Rock. But
ouch.
Yeah, bit of a pain. So I pulled up to the gate. There was a gentleman on the other side of the gate who was cleaning up the entrance to the park. And I said, hey, man, look, I'll give you $20 if you'll let me in. And he's like, dude, the park's closed. I said, I know. Okay, I'll give you $25 if you will let me in. I just want to walk up to the top. It'll take me 30 minutes, and then I'm out of here. Nobody ever knows. And he said, you can't do that. He said, but I'll make you a deal. He said, I want you to drive down about 200 yards on the left. There's a little spot called the Hickory Nut Brewery. Walk in there, grab a beer, walk out to the back porch, and thank me. And I said, I'm always down for a cold beer in the middle of the day because I'm a responsible adult, but I really want to go up there. He goes, just go down to the brewery. Trust me on this. Enjoy. So I did. I went down. I got a cold beer, one of the Highland Brewery beers up there out of Asheville, just north of you guys. I walked out on the back, and as I'm standing out on the back deck, the back deck of this brewery is out over the water, over this beautiful river. With his little rapids right there. Some of you who have been up there know exactly where I'm talking about. Right across the river and a couple hundred yards away is the side of the mountain that's attached to Chimney Rock. Just to the left is Chimney Rock. You can look straight up at it. Just to the right is this beautiful 400-foot-tall waterfall that comes down and feeds the river. It was a spectacular scene. I was blown away by what I saw and the fact that I could just sit there in a lawn chair with my feet kicked up over this beautiful little river with rapids next to it and a mountain and Chimney Rock. It was incredible. I go back inside to grab a beer, And the young lady who's bartending, she said, hey, where are you from? I said, well, I currently live over in Pensacola, Florida, right by the beach. And she said exactly what you just said, Tim, which was she went, oh, you're so lucky. And I thought it was so – we had a discussion. And I thought it was so funny because I've been down here for like 34 years of my life now. And you get to the point that you kind of take the beach for granted. It's just always there. It's always the same. Down here where we are, the sand is always as white as sugar. The water is always as green as an emerald. It's always there. It's always going to be there for you. So you really kind of don't even go anymore. And this girl was saying, oh, you know, if I was here, if I was there, I'd go to the beach every single day. And I looked and I said, and if I lived here, I would be up here in the mountains every single day. And she looks at you, oh, you get tired of it. You get over it after a while. I think it's the point of all that, Tim, is just that I think it's funny that we both have the same reaction. When I talk about Greenville, Spartanburg, the whole upstate area, all the way north up into southern North Carolina, I look at it and I look at the pictures and I'm like, wow, it's beautiful and it's stunning and it's impressive. And that's just your backyard. Whereas people look at the beaches of Destin, Pensacola, where I grew up, and they're like, oh, I would spend thousands of dollars to come there on vacation. And I'm like, eh, you know, I can do that anytime I want. It's a little overrated. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I get it because, like you said, it's like right here, and we sometimes take it for granted, and you as well as the beach, because I'd love to see a sunrise on the beach. I love those. You know, just be beautiful down there. I guess just to your point, we kind of just take it for granted wherever we are just because we see it every day.
Yeah, it's something impressive. And again, when you're when it is your backyard, it is absolutely very easy to take it for granted, to not recognize the fortune that you have, the good fortune that you have to have that right there in your backyard. And you know, so take advantage of that from somebody who has only spent a handful of days up in your beautiful area, from somebody who is fingers crossed going to be spending a lot more time in the near future. Take full advantage of what you guys have up there because it is a beautiful area, and you're very lucky to be a part of it. All right, go back real quick. Just a short little conversation about a lesson that we took away from last night's NBA All-Star game, because I don't know about you guys, but I took one big lesson away specifically from the fourth quarter of last night's NBA All-Star game, and that lesson was this. How much better is the NBA when the NBA is being officiated correctly? How much better is it? How much more fun is it? How much more engaging and entertaining is it when James Harden isn't getting a foul called every time that he is breathed on? How much more entertaining is it when LeBron James goes to the rack and isn't immediately gifted a free throw and an and one to build all the momentum when he actually has to earn a basket? How much more entertaining is it when Kyle Lowry is taking charges on both ends or both sides of the defensive side of the floor and creating turnovers at moments that completely shifted the momentum of the game back to Team Giannis? How much more entertaining was the National Basketball Association when it wasn't a who can score 150 by the end of the third period and turned into here are the best basketball players in the world and we are going to make them play actual basketball? I love good offensive basketball. I love when I tune in a game's 82-81 at the end of the third. I do. But I love more when guys are actually having to play the game of basketball. And last night, we got a real reminder of just how beautiful the game of basketball can be when it's actually handled the way that it should be handled. And I got to tell you, Timothy, I think that was my favorite part of the game, easily, was late in the fourth when Lowry's drawing a charge off. Because James Harden has used that step-in, step-out, fade-away jumper for so long now. And every time he uses it in a regular season game, I hear somebody say, well, what do you do to stop that? How do you stop that move? Kyle Lowry showed you. Establish the position. When Harden puts his shoulder into you, take the charge. Of course, that requires the officials to, you know, call charges. But last night, they were calling charges And it made the game infinitely more interesting. Tim, I don't know, man. Like, as an old school basketball fan, if the NBA went back to calling those games, to calling charges, to calling traveling that ruin a team's momentum, and demanding that the best players in the world find a way to rise up and still be great, but actually playing the rules of basketball, the All-Star game proved that that will still be very entertaining. Last night, the social media world was burning up with All-Star game takes about how great that game was. And the only complaint was that Anthony Davis won the game on a free throw. But I don't know about you, man. I felt like last night we were watching a really good basketball game. And I think the one thing nobody is mentioning is that it was good because it was an actual game of basketball, not the NBA scoring contest that we get most weeknights.
Exactly. You know, it felt like genuinely good basketball. You know, it was the best players in the world going up against each other, and which you don't get even in a Game 7 of the NBA Finals. You know, it just got players that cared, that wanted to win, and they were just playing excellent defense on each other. And like you said, you didn't have any of the ridiculous, you know, like you had offensive fouls. They actually played by the rules, and it was just felt like, now this is basketball. This is what it's supposed to be, and it was just great to watch, and it was great entertainment throughout the final quarter.
When Lowry took that charge off of James Harden on the left-hand side of the floor, that was at a point where Harden was trying to win the game. And when Harden stepped in and did that step in, step back that he has mastered over the years because nobody takes or calls charges, when Lowry took that charge, I was sitting on the couch in the living room. My dog was sitting on the floor next to me. Little brother was sitting a couple of chairs over. And when Lowry took that charge, I jumped up off the chair, which is not something I do very often. I've watched enough sports that it takes special moments to get me to jump up off of a chair. When Lowry took that charge, I jumped up out of the chair and did my full NBA official charge call. Hand behind the head, threw that fist forward. I'm like, that's a charge. And remember, it was a delayed call, right? Like, they didn't call it immediately. They waited a second or two to call it. But when they called that charge, I lost my mind. I lost my mind harder than I would have if James Harden would have hit that step back three to win the game. Because, A, it changed the momentum of the game. B, I don't get to see charges. When I played, and it's been a long time, I loved taking charges. And I love taking charges for two reasons. Number one, because it will not only disrupt the tempo of the offense on the other side of the basketball, but it will get into the head of the guy who gave you the charge, right? You'll see it happen. Even in that Harden, I don't know if you noticed this, the next time down the floor, Harden started playing with a little more space between him and Lowry, which effectively nullified his ability to hit that step forward, step back fadeaway, right? So it gets into the head of the other guy, and it changes how they attack you on offense. The other reason I love taking charges and players who take charges is because of how infuriated some of the new school basketball fans become when somebody calls a charge. They get so angry. In fact, even last night, like I said, I hate to keep harping back on Twitter, but that's how I was connected to the world last night. When the charge was called against James Harden, there were people on Twitter who were blowing up, that were furious that the NBA referees would have the audacity to call a charge on one of the NBA's best scoring guards. And it was hilarious to me. So I think what we saw last night in the All-Star game, aside from Chris Paul catching an alley-oop, I thought it was 2005 on my TV screen all over again. Aside from CP3 catching an oop, the best thing that we took from that All-Star game last night, and it's not going to change anything. I know that I'm just wasting hot air at this point because nothing's going to change. But the best part about that All-Star game was 100% the fact that it was proven that if you call the game the way the game should be called, basketball is better. That was one of the most entertaining basketball games I have seen in a long time, and it was because of the fact that they were calling it like a game as opposed to a scoring exhibition that you have to buy a ticket to. All right, let's go ahead and run to our break. When we come back here in just a minute, I love golf. I'm a big golf guy. And yesterday at the Genesis, Tiger Woods got tanked and answered a question about Eldrick that is the biggest question that's been asked about Eldrick in some time. And I'll answer that question for you when we come back. Timothy's back in the network studio pushing the buttons. My name is Rob Brown. Hit me on Twitter at The Rob Brown Show. Give us a phone call, 844-GSP-ESPN. We're back right after this on ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Timothy, you may be in charge of music for my career as long as it shall last, my friend. Welcome back. It is ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown. The pleasure, of course, is mine. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Eldrick Tiger Woods had a no good, very bad weekend in his own tournament at Riviera Country Club. A 6-over par 77 on Sunday, 31 on the front nine on Thursday, and it was all downhill after that, ended up producing one of the worst 72-hole performances of Eldrick's career. How bad was it? It was so bad that the traditionally uber-competitive Eldrick Tiger Woods couldn't do anything but laugh about how bad it was afterward. He said, quote, "I did not do much well today. Good news, I hit every ball forward, not backward, a couple sideways, but overall, I'm done," end quote. Tiger said that he had some back stiffness, which is why he's skipping out on the World Golf Championship, Mexico Championship, which is next weekend. Said he's going to stay at home, do some training, and relax a little bit. 11 over par, his worst 72-hole score at the Genesis. and marked the second time in his career that he finished last amongst those who made the cut. The best part about this is that up until this weekend, I don't know how, I don't know why, but it's every week we had some media talking head somewhere who would crack open a microphone and ask one question about Tiger Woods. Do you know what that question is? Is Tiger back? Quote, end quote. Can we put that to bed now? Can we officially say that Tiger is not only not back, but that Tiger will never be back? Now, Tim, I know you're a little bit younger than I am, so I probably saw more of Eldrick in his prime than you did. But when Eldrick Tiger Woods was Sunday Tiger, when Eldrick Tiger Woods was the Tiger Woods that had an entire video game franchise modeled after him and only him, guys like Adam Scott and Ricky Fowler and other cats, Roy McIlroy, they are known worldwide by younger audiences because of Tiger Woods. But Tiger ain't that Tiger anymore. And he hasn't been in a long time. And I know that he still wins some tournaments. Hell, he won a pretty big one not too long ago, if you recall correctly. I know that he can still win tournaments, and I know that he's a damn good golfer. But the next time that I hear somebody say, after what we saw this weekend, is Tiger back? When will Tiger be back? It'll be the last time that I listen to that person talk about sports, because it blows my mind that Tiger Woods, and it's not like, listen, this is his worst tournament performance in a long, long time, and it's not like this is the norm. This is the exception, not the rule. But it brings the average way, way down in terms of number of tournaments that Tiger Woods is legitimately competitive in. It blows my mind that we still have this discussion about Tiger Woods. On the Golf Channel, flip over to the Golf Channel at some point. In the next handful of weeks, Tiger's going to go out. He's going to have a decent Thursday round. He's going to be in contention after 18. And one of the bloviators on the Golf Channel is going to come on and go, wow, is this the resurgence of Tiger Woods? No. No, it's not. There will be no resurgence of Tiger Woods. He will forever and always be arguably, let me throw that out there because I'm going to get some Jack fans who are going to be calling in at some point. 844-GSP-ESPN. Tiger is going to go down as one of the two greatest golfers of all time, whether he's number one or number two or 1A, 1B. It's up to you to have that discussion amongst yourselves. But Tiger will not be back. He will not be dominant Tiger anymore. He can't. He won't. He doesn't have him in it, or doesn't have it in him. And as much as I hate that, because yes, I would love to have old school Tiger back. At this point, the body clearly can't handle it. At this point, the rigors of a 72-hole tournament just aren't there. He won a tournament back in October, the Zozo Championship. Finished tied for ninth at the Farmers 3 weeks ago. This was his third start of the season. He's now dropped to number nine in the world. Let's just make him captain of the President's Cup forever and go from there. Tim, how big of a Tiger – were you ever a Tiger guy, or was he a little bit after your entrance into the sports world? Or do you even care about golf? I guess I could have started there.
The only reason I really actually care about golf is actually Tiger Woods. That's because I'm just entertained whenever he's out there. There's always a storyline going on when he's playing. I'm just everybody's aware of what happened over a decade ago. Nobody was a fan of them, but I love how he kind of came back from it and ended up winning a major tournament. And it's just I love the story of Tiger. You know, just Tiger for me is really only thing I'm interested in golf actually at this point.
You are, I think, in a very large group, the Eldrick generation. Okay, I've been playing golf since I was much younger, so we'll call it about 25 years now. I've been playing golf not well. So if and when I get back up there to the Greenville Spartanburg area, when I start putting together listener golf tournaments, which I very much hope to do, take it easy on your boy because I'm not good. But I love the game. I try. But one of my favorite things when I was a little bit younger, when Tiger really started to bust onto the scene and become Tiger, red shirt Tiger, Sunday Tiger, was going down to the Muni just around the corner from the old house. I would go down there 2-3 times a week on my lunch break and hit golf balls. I was working on a sports talk radio station here in town. Our studio was right downtown at a city called Fort Walton Beach. For those of you who know the area, I would drive around the corner to the FWB Muni and knock around a basket of range balls for lunch. That was just one of the things I liked to do. And around the time that Eldrick Tiger Woods really busted onto the scene, you would go from going down there and seeing a bunch of old guys and me hitting the ball. All of a sudden, there were teenagers showing up, and there were kids in their late tens showing up, and there were kids in the early teens showing up, and not just hitting the ball, but caring, wanting to play good golf because Tiger made it cool. And I will always appreciate and love Tiger for that element of it because Tiger made it cool to golf. And Tim, you sound like you're in that group, that generation.
Yes, absolutely. I'm definitely in that generation that just loves and appreciates Sunday Tiger. You know, the red collared shirt on Sunday. It's just special to see it whenever you see it. It's awesome.
When the Sunday red was on, Tiger made golf must watch TV. Golf became must watch TV. You could see the other guys paying attention to where Tiger was because he was that good. But the unfortunate part about sports, as we all get a little older every day, is that the only undefeated opponent is time. Father Time has never lost. And unfortunately, Father Time has now claimed Tiger Woods. I'm not saying the guy's never going to win another tournament. He might. He may even win another prestigious tournament. He may go get himself another major or two. But red shirt Sunday Tiger doesn't stare down the field like he used to. Red shirt Sunday Tiger isn't much watch golf. If you were watching the Genesis, I actually got really frustrated with coverage of the Genesis because I was watching it along with the XFL and along with the early portions of the Daytona 500. I was watching the Genesis. We get late, and you've got Matsuyama and Adam Scott and a couple of other guys down in the 16, 17, 18. They're on the way, and they keep cutting away to show earlier shots of Tiger, who's 11 over. Are you kidding me? I love Tiger, and I know it's his tournament, and I know that he's the host, and so you got to show him, etc. But can we not? Can those of you who are golf fans learn to appreciate the other guys on tour? Learn to respect the other guys on tour. Because if you don't, you're just going to walk away from golf, and that makes me sad for the sport. All right. When we come back, we have got, and I have not gotten to say this in a long time, we have got a massive boxing match coming up on Saturday. I don't know about you guys. I'm a big fan of the Sweet Science. Worked for Roy Jones Jr. for a number of years. I'll tell you about that when we come back. But boxing has gone downhill the past few years. This weekend, the sport has a real, genuine chance to turn itself around. I will tell you what the Sweet Science needs from its current two biggest names on Saturday if boxing wants even a chance to return to greatness. We'll do that when we come back. You are listening to me. I'm Rob Brown, and this is ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
More AC/DC on a President's Day. It is indeed a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. Funny enough, Tim, that was the theme song to my very first show on the radio. The first show I ever got a number of years ago. Right here in the Florida Panhandle, that was my introduction, because I loved rock and roll and bagpipes, because I'm that guy. So that was an unintentional blast from the past, a callback to my old initial show about 14 years ago.
Really?
And I'm very grateful to you for playing that song accidentally, Tim.
I know what you mean. I totally knew that. Yeah. You know?
Oh, of course. Of course. Totally, you've been following that. My career for years. I know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I am Rob Brown. He is Tim, back in the studio pushing the buttons and switching the switches. It's good to talk to you guys. Thanks for letting me hang back out with you right here on ESPN Upstate. Let us, my friends, get into a sport that one of my favorites of all time, but a sport that does not get the recognition that I would love it to. And it's for a good reason. Tim, you a boxing guy?
I'd say I'm more of a UFC type of person.
Yeah, MMA?
Yeah.
And that seems to be the trend over the past handful of years. Boxing kind of hit the decline. Mm-hmm. MMA jumped in, took that spot. And you've got every different level. Obviously, UFC, you've got Bellator, you've got a ton of different leagues going on. And MMA has really filled the void that boxing left over the years. But the sad thing to me is that it doesn't have to be that way for boxing. Boxing just needs to get over itself a little bit. So coming up on Saturday evening, we have got the second fight between Deontay the Bronze Bomber Wilder and Tyson the Gypsy King Fury. It's going to be taking place at the MGM Grand Garden in Paradise, Nevada. Should be interesting. Fight's going to start late at night. It's going to be a pay-per-view fight. I'm intrigued by it. Interesting fight. First one went to a draw. I thought that Tyson Fury, and I'll tell you as a bit of an aside, that I have been a fan of Deontay the Bronze Bomber Wilder for many, many years. I watched him fight in his amateur days back in the day from right down the road in Mobile, Alabama, which is just about an hour from where I am right now. I used to work for Roy Jones Jr., the guy who I argue is the greatest pound-for-pound boxer of all time. I don't think that anybody has been better as a pound-for-pound fighter than Roy Jones. He did it at every weight class, and he beat everybody at every weight class. The guy was the GOAT, if you ask me. In that time, when I was working for Roy Jones Jr., I got to travel around and watch a lot of boxing, and I saw Deontay Wilder fight a number of times. He's just I can't put into words. He's not the most technically sound fighter in the world, But if dude can put knuckles on jaw, somebody's going to sleep. That's just who he is. And the thing is I was sitting last night, I had actually planned on utilizing this segment today basically to break down the fight. I wanted to actually talk about the fight itself. But instead, I actually want to talk about what this fight means to boxing and bring in any of y'all who are boxing fans. You can tweet me at The Rob Brown Show on Twitter, at The Rob Brown Show. You can call in 844-GSP-ESPN if you want to come in that direction. Boxing has a very good chance this weekend to revitalize itself. And here is why. Number one, you've got to fight with hype that is not manufactured. This is genuinely a hyped fight. This is a fight that people care about organically. We don't need mass-produced scripted wrestling-style promos. We don't need promos with all the production value and camera work and special. We don't need all that. All that we need is two guys who don't like each other putting belts on the line and fighting each other for them. And it's great. Where has this been? Instead, for the past 10 years, what we got was a dude like Floyd Mayweather who would duck people, talk a bunch of trash before going out there and beating up on a nobody, taking his money and going home, and who had more interest in fake fighting Conor McGregor for a few million bucks than he did actually going out and proving that he was the best fighter in the world. That's not what we have this weekend. This weekend, we have Deontay Wilder, who's got two more KOs since the draw with Tyson Fury. You got the hardest hitter in the sport. Deontay Wilder knocks out 98% of the guys that he fights.
Is that good?
One opponent has made it through. What'd you say, Tim?
I said 98%, and is that good? Is that pretty good?
Yeah, I would say if we were playing Galaga, he'd be on the high score list. Yes, that is it's solid. On the flip side, Fury's also won two more. Finished Tom Schwartz, got a unanimous decision over Otto Wallen. Both were interesting fights, but we also knew that those two were, not really huge threats to Tyson Fury. But you go back, and in the last fight, Fury was a couple of seconds away from getting counted out by the ref. But up until then, he was clearly the better fighter. So this one's going to be all over the place. It basically is going to come down to, can Deontay get inside of Tyson Fury and knock him out? Or can the Gypsy King make Tyson go the entire fight and win a decision, which I think is far more likely. Tyson Fury's in the best shape of his life. Deontay Wilder has never been in anything but the best shape of his life. This fight is exciting. This is the first fight, and I can't tell you how long, that my plans revolve around being in front of a television screen to watch this fight. I am going out to a bar that shows pay-per-view boxing matches for the first time, and I don't know how long to watch a boxing match. That's how good this fight has the potential to be. And boxing as a sport, every individual in it, boxers, managers, promoters, all of them, everybody needs to recognize that this fight is generating that interest. This fight has produced a feeling of nostalgia for boxing fans. We feel like we're getting the fight that we A, want, B, deserve. The baddest two dudes at this level are lacing up the 8-ouncers and going for it on Saturday night. This is what boxing is supposed to be. This is how boxing is supposed to operate. Take the biggest names, put them in a ring, let them fight. I don't need the, listen, don't get me wrong. I love showmanship. I'm all for pomp and circumstance. I'm all for guys getting wrapped down to the ring by a live hip hop artist. I'm all for the fireworks and the pyro and the confetti and all that good stuff. But at the end of the day, I just want boxing to put the best boxers in a boxing ring and let them box for a boxing championship. That's it. That's all I want. This fight is that. This fight's that. Tyson Fury is a better fighter than Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder is probably the strongest puncher since Iron Mike Tyson in his heyday. That's how strong this cat is. And the two of these dudes are going to put on a showcase. It's either going to end mid-round with a Wilder KO on Tyson Fury, or Fury's going to take him all the way to the distance and win a decision. One of those two. But either way, you're going to get a great fight. And if boxing can go back to this being the norm and not the exception, if boxing can go back to where I am more excited about these types of fights and less complaining because Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao waited until they were both 60 to fight each other, then boxing has a chance to start cutting back into some of the audience that MMA has rightfully taken from it. You can go out on UFC Fight Night and go to a sports bar, and it will be packed chock-a-block full of dudes and young ladies who are out there to watch a fight, who would love to watch more boxing matches, but boxing just doesn't produce. When UFC gets to a point that they got the guy with a belt or the gal with the belt, they got the guy that's the number one or the gal that's the number one contender, do you know what they do? They schedule a fight, they put them in the octagon, they let them fight, and then they have a winner, and then they do it again. Boxing, on the other hand, by letting these guys pick and choose and unfortunately duck their fights, means until you get a Wilder v. Fury 2, which is the only possible fight for these two cats, they are forced into this fight because there's nobody else. There's nobody left. This is when boxing has its best chance to do something special. All right, go ahead, run to a break. When we come back here in just a minute, I saw really good sports this weekend and in one place that I 100% did not expect it. I was looking down my nose over the weekend and I got showed up by some really good competition and some really good athletes. Who were they? What were they doing? I'll tell you when we come back. You're listening to ESPN Upstate.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
No sleep till Pensacola. That's where I'm at. Tim, you are rolling with the music today, my friend. Well done.
Thank you, sir. I'm picking some of the music that I'm familiar with, but I love it.
I like it. I like it very much. My name is Rob Brown, coming to you from the beautiful beaches of Pensacola, Florida, but broadcasting all along the Palmetto State, the upstate portion of the Palmetto State. And, of course, the pleasure is very much mine. Thanks for letting me hang out with you, be a part of your day. I really do enjoy every time I get to sit and talk with y'all. This past Sunday evening, I sat down along with my family for a lovely little Sunday dinner and to get prepared for the Daytona 500. And then it rained in Daytona. So that didn't happen. And we found ourselves flipping channels. And what we stumbled across was a new little fun thing called the XFL. And I have to tell you, after 2 weeks, I think I'm in love with the XFL. I think that the XFL and I could have a very serious, committed relationship. I think the XFL and I have the potential to really have something special. And that is because the XFL has done the one thing that I thought that they would not do but needed to do if they wanted even a chance to be successful. When this league started, a couple of years ago, they started putting the idea back together. We all remember. Do you remember the old XFL, Tim? Do you remember the XFL that had the Rock out at midfield cutting promos at halftime and stuff?
No, I don't. But I watched the documentary on it, so I'm familiar with it. Yeah,
it was certifiably insanity. Okay,
very gimmicky.
It was very gimmicky. It was professional wrestling, but with football instead. It was very gimmicky. It was very over the top. I mean, you know, as a wrestling fan, I'm down anytime somebody hands Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson a microphone, but it never captured the feel of football. You always felt like you were watching wrestling, but with two football teams instead. So when they started this league, I was very concerned that Vincent Kennedy McMahon was going to go back to that. He was going to basically hang the XFL on the same coat rack that he hangs the WWE on, that it was going to be gimmicky, it was going to be a lot of pyro and walkout music and just goofy wrestling stuff. But that's not what's happened. And I'm very impressed. I was concerned, and I do not want to bring politics into this, but when the XFL started and the idea started to progress into what it's turned into today, it was around the time that the anthem protests started in the National Football League. The Colin Kaepernicks of the world started taking a knee during the national anthem. And there were a ton of people who said, I am out. I am not watching the NFL because I don't respect what these guys are doing. I'm out. And it felt as if Vincent Kennedy McMahon and his wife Linda McMahon, who works directly for President Trump, started the XFL with the idea of, let's give those fans a place to go to get away from the NFL. We'll have no attachment. At one point, and I don't think they went all the way through with this, but at one point they went so far as to say, we're not going to allow guys with criminal records to be in the XFL, which was a clear shot at how some of those people who walked away from the NFL felt about NFL players, fair or not. But the XFL, as I was watching the game yesterday between the LA Wildcats and the Dallas Renegades, where former Auburn running back Cameron Artis Payne had a phenomenal day with a couple of rushing touchdowns, we were legitimately watching it and enjoying it as a football game. And it didn't feel like it was a we are disconnected from and are going to surpass the National Football League. It really felt as if they knew the role that they had. It really felt as if they knew that they are an NFL feeder system, they are a minor league farm system, and they did not hang their hat on the identity of watch this league if you don't like Colin Kaepernick. We're for you. No, it's a professional league. It looks professional. It's produced professionally. The play-by-play is professional. It's funny. You know what the next sentence on my show prep is, Timothy? No gimmicks. The players want to play. They're not up against anything else on the sports calendar. It's well produced. The fun rules aren't bad. This is good. It is a good league.
Yeah, huge fan of the kickoff.
Have you watched XFL yet?
Oh yeah, I'm rolling with my Vipers. You know, 0-2 so far, but I, well, I'm gonna live with them. Yeah, we'll see where it goes.
One, It's year one.
Yeah, yeah.
I have not picked a team yet, but what I will tell you is that the league itself is well-produced. The rules are fun. I can see the NFL adopting some of those. The NFL is going to adopt that kickoff rule. At some point.
I certainly hope so. I love the kickoff.
That kickoff rule.
I love the kickoff. Love it.
Oh, it's great. It's a phenomenal rule. They're going to take that rule, and I'm here for it. So, you know, when it comes down to it, the XFL needed to do one thing. They needed to embrace what they were, a second-tier league, a minor league for the NFL, not the watch us if you dislike Colin Kaepernick league. They did that, and the XFL is pretty good so far. We're only 2 weeks in, but the XFL, pretty good football so far. All right, that's hour number two in the books. When we come back, we're going to talk some NFL for just a little while. Is Tom Brady done with the Patriots? No, but why the Patriots might be done winning with Tom Brady. I'll tell you that and a whole lot more. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. My name is Rob Brown at The Rob Brown Show on Twitter, 844-GSP-ESPN on the phone lines. You're listening to ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.